Welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network, coming to you from the TeacherCast studios since 2011. Join us each week as we bring you the latest educational news, EdTech updates, and hottest interviews with today's most influential leaders in education. And now, for your host, Jeff Bradbury.
Everybody, and welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network. My name is Jeff Bradbury. Thank you so much for joining us today and making TeacherCast your home for professional development. This is the Jeff Bradbury Show, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking all about email marketing and how you can take your business and grow it to the next level through dynamic emails. I have a fantastic guest on today. He's not only an expert in this field, but he has grown a number of businesses primarily through email marketing. So if you're an author, a podcaster, a speaker, anybody looking out there to become a content creator in the educational space, this is that podcast for you guys. Don't forget to head onto the website over at teachercast.net/podcast. Check it out. And of course, if you'd like to be featured on this episode of the Jeff Bradbury Show, please head over to teachercast.net/contact. We would love to have you guys be a guest. My guest today spent 30 years as a software engineer and small business owner, and now he is on a mission to help everybody on the planet create and grow their email newsletters. He's not only a KIT-approved expert, he's an email marketing strategist, and currently he's helping us create a profitable income through our email newsletters. He recently just launched a new project on his website, provenflows.com, and I am so thrilled to have him on the show today, Mr. John Bellingham. John, how are you today? Welcome to TeacherCast.
Great. Thank you very much, Jeffrey. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
I am so excited to have you on here. We have been talking about email newsletters for many years, and we have had a lot of great conversations on here, but I keep getting these conversations and emails back from my audience saying, where do I go? Yeah. Where do I get started? How do I do all of these things? And a couple weeks ago, I stumbled across your website and just realized we have a lot of stuff in common. We're using the same platforms, the same software, the same kind of ideas. And I'm so happy that you're here to talk to our audience today. Before we get into all of that stuff, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is John Bellingham?
So I'm a tech guy at heart. So if I go back far enough, I started as a software engineer working for US tech companies. I quickly discovered that I wasn't really set out to be an employee. So I went off and started doing my own thing. So I guess for the last three decades or so, I've owned a number of businesses, some of which were more successful than others. I've learned a lot over that period of time. But the one thing that was at the heart of every business I've had is technology in general and email marketing specifically. Because if I go back far enough, 20 plus years, when I started to get into email marketing, it was the only thing I knew when it came to digital marketing at that time. So it's worked for me all this time better than any other digital marketing platform. And it's just something that I really love. So that's what I spend most of my time these days doing, is helping people. I've had corporate life and, enterprise companies and stuff is not really my bag. I like working with solopreneurs, people who are running small businesses, because that's what I am and that's what I resonate with. I enjoy helping solopreneurs. That's what I do. I'm a dad, I'm a granddad. I love watching Formula One and golf, and that's kind of me.
Well, your website is provenflows.com, and I got it attracted to everything that you were doing because it speaks to the heart of, okay, where do we go? Where do we get started?
Yeah.
We mentioned at the top of the show here, you are an approved expert for a fantastic company called KIT, formerly ConvertKit. That's a program I've been using, an application I've been running at TeacherCast here for probably 13 years. Let's just start at the top here. Why ConvertKit? Why KIT?
Yeah, so great question. So I've been using, as you can probably imagine, I've used a number of these platforms over the years. And sometimes people think that an email marketing platform is just an email marketing platform, and they're all very similar. Whereas in fact they're not. There's a lot of differences in these platforms, and you need to get one that's it's the right fit for what you want to do. Sometimes people have, you know, something that's far too powerful for what they need it to do. They're paying too much per month for subscription fees, etc. Some people who have perhaps got a service-based business are using what I would term as a platform that's best suited for a product-based business, and vice versa, because there are nuances between the two business types. So when I narrow that down to the different platforms that I believe are appropriate for service-based businesses, the one that I favour, and I've used it pretty much every day for the last 5 years or so, is Kit, formerly known as ConvertKit. I think it's the most appropriate one because of its simplicity in use, but its effectiveness in what it can do with regards to automations and stuff. So that's why I believe it's the most appropriate. It's the one I use in my business, and it's the one that I recommend to most people using theirs.
I've been using Kit, like I mentioned, for quite some time now. I love that it's easy. I love that it gives the analytics. I can take a look at it, and I can easily create broadcasts. I can put stuff in. They now have access to connect everything into Canva, which for me has been a game changer, just creating stuff. It's really, really nice. You can, of course, find out more information over at teachercast.net/Kit, and would love to have you guys check out all the great stuff over there. John, there's another question that pops up here, and I want to also start the show with this. Why create an email newsletter? Why not just have a blog?
So I think there's a perceived difference with blogs and newsletters. I think especially today there seems to be a revival of newsletters. It's something that's been, as you know, Jeff, it's been around for a long time, and it's come and gone in different waves and different forms. But I believe now that, for me, the newsletter economy is just exploding at the moment, right? And Kit as a platform is probably responsible for, you know, a significant percentage of the big hitters when it comes to newsletters, of which I'm not one, by the way. I'm a mere minnow when it comes to that. But what a newsletter does more than anything else is it lets me fly the flag for me and what I do. So it keeps people front and center. It keeps me top of mind when it comes to my subscribers, because even if I'm sending out a weekly newsletter, which I do, I've got a newsletter that goes out every Friday. And there's two types of newsletters, by the way, is what I call dynamic and evergreen. The dynamic one that I do, it comes out on a Friday, and it just gives me an opportunity to give value to my subscribers. And what I mean by that is I'll share helpful tips, helpful content about how I think people can improve their business using Kit. Sometimes I'll give information about email marketing in general that's agnostic about what platform you're on. And then it also gives me opportunities to, you know, maybe pitch new ideas or ask questions, collect data, what I call zero-party data from subscribers that I can then store and say Kit and then reuse that in future email communications. So without that constant drip-fed newsletter that goes out every week, I would lose a lot of opportunities that I'm otherwise getting because I'm doing that.
When we have ideas and we traditionally would put them on our blog, I often have to figure out here with TeacherCast stuff, is that a newsletter or is that a blog? Or do I put it on my blog and then the newsletter links to it? There's a lot of emails that come in my inbox every single day. Some of them are just ridiculously long, and some of them are, hey, it's, you know, I wrote this over on my website, click here and go. So in other words, you don't have to spend your time looking at the email. It pushes you into the website. You kind of have this hybrid philosophy. I've noticed some of your emails are very short. Some of them are, as you said, conversational, asking a question. And some of them are, you know, kind of lengthy with a lot of information. What works for you? What should we be thinking about? Should our newsletter be the blog that we're writing every week, or should our newsletter be pointing to the blog that we write every week?
It's actually a great observation that not many people get that observation, Jeff, in my experience. So for me, these days, the newsletter and the blog, sometimes it comes down to semantics, because quite often your newsletter will become your blog post, or your blog post will become your newsletter. And I do that too. If you look at my, if you look at my website, you'll see there are blog articles on there that are essentially publicly shared broadcast emails from Kit. Now, I do that for two reasons. Some people prefer to, and I fall into this category, I prefer to be notified via email if something has changed. If someone's created a new blog post, a new article, I don't want to have to remember to go and visit their website and check their recent, their most recent blog articles. What I prefer is to get a notification via my email to say, go and check out Jeff's new blog post. And I, that works for me. But the other thing in which most people don't quite understand is the benefit you get through search engine optimization. So if you put that blog in there, then you're much more likely to be found when someone looks for something than if you didn't put it on your website. So in my own business, if someone searches for something to do with Kit, formerly ConvertKit, or email marketing, there's a very good chance I'm going to show up on page one of Google just because I've got so much content out there, and I usually get found for something. And that's where most people normally come across me, is through the search engine optimization. And there's a few other things I do with my newsletter as well. Is I'll give one other tip that I do. So I'm only active on one social platform, and that's LinkedIn. I'm not active on any other platforms, any other social platforms, sorry. And what I do with my newsletters is I also, my newsletters and my articles, is I also create a LinkedIn newsletter edition for the very same reason, is because it gives great SEO. Now, when SEO brings back stuff about what I created, if my domain, provenflows.com, goes up against linkedin.com, the domain reputation for LinkedIn.com is so much higher than mine that that will be found first and it'll be shown to people first. So I'm just putting another card into the lottery of being found. So every time I create an article, if I share it on LinkedIn, then I'm getting double the chance of people finding it.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because one of my strategies has also been using LinkedIn newsletters, and I always ask that same question: am I copying the text word for word into LinkedIn and hitting the submit button? Or is LinkedIn just going, hey, here's the headline, click here to take you back into the website? A lot of people, you know, scroll through LinkedIn, and a lot of people get the LinkedIn emails.
Yep.
I get a lot of LinkedIn newsletters because I'm always kind of using it as research. I'm not sitting here reading a 5-minute long email that's 10 miles long. So for me, that's why I like creating shorter emails, shorter newsletters with just, you know, hey, if you want, click, right? Because yeah, they're not reading 2,500 words inside of an email.
No.
But I see people doing both. I see people creating newsletters that are just text, just a vomit of text. And I see people using really all the tools that ConvertKit has, from the layouts to the colors to the graphics to, you know, I love personally right now that I can put a Spotify podcast embedded directly into that Kit newsletter.
Yep.
And same thing with a YouTube video. Have you, in working with clients, seen any difference between just vomit on text versus let's actually make something look nice?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm very much an advocate of making your emails readable. And by that, I mean using proper formatting, proper decoration, proper use of white space, proper use of graphics, and interrupting the flow of the content so that it's not one wall of text. So that's my preferred option. That's what works best for me. Going back to the length of the email, for me, an email can never be too long. It can only run out of value. So if I keep reading an email and every time I read the next paragraph, I'm getting another nugget, or I'm getting something that's either helpful or educational or, you know, entertaining, whatever it is I'm getting, it makes me read the next paragraph and the next paragraph and the next paragraph. Now, I read some newsletters that are significantly longer than 1,000 words. You know, they could be 2,000, 2,500 words. And I'll read them because I enjoy the content. But if you try and spread what is effectively a 500-word message into a 2,000-word email, then you're going to switch people off, and they're eventually going to unsubscribe, because as soon as they see that arriving in their inbox, they're going to like, nah, delete that and unsubscribe. So I don't think there's any one single answer about what's the right length or what's the right format of content. I think you need to do what works for you and your subscribers, because at the end of the day, it's your subscribers that, you know, that count, that make the difference. What I like is almost irrelevant. It's what my subscribers like and what they tolerate.
And I know for myself, that's something I always struggle with, right? Even when I create a kit newsletter and there's a section with a header and then maybe a section with some recent podcasts, a section with some recent blogs, a section with my, you know, buy my this or that. And that, you know, if I section these things out, I've really been paying attention. Is that a different open rate? Is that a different click-through rate than if I just send you one email that says, here's the latest podcast and here's the Spotify, Apple, YouTube links and go. So I've been trying to figure out the differences between long form and short form and how that works. The thing I love about Kit is you can segment it. And you know, if somebody opens up this email, they're going to get tagged with a newsletter tag. A teacher who's never opened a newsletter tag probably won't get the email about this episode. They're not interested in that, so I'm not going to send that to them.
Yeah.
And that's just segmentation.
Yeah, no, so absolutely. I forgot your question. You start with the question. I forgot the question, Hooja, sorry.
Well, I think it's just a matter of making sure that we're creating content for your audience and not for ourselves.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, it's about constantly testing and asking your audience, because I about probably 3-4 months ago, 5 months ago maybe even, I did a complete survey on my whole list asking, are my newsletters too long? Are they too short? Are they just about right? And actually, the average response was slightly too long. So I've tried to cut back what I put in my emails just because of that feedback I got. Now, for me, I'm bursting with more content I want to put in it. But, you know, I'm trying to listen to, because I, inside my head, I think I'm giving more value. But I need to put myself in the shoes of the subscriber, and they're not looking for, if I put six elements of something in an email, they may only be interested in 3 or 4 of them, or 2 or 3 of them, not all of them. The other thing, going back to the point you mentioned about too long or putting in just a simple link to take from here to go to there, this is a generalism, so I'll caveat with that. But most people are reluctant to go from one platform to another. If you've got their attention inside one platform, you're much more likely to get them to stay there and enjoy the content you got in there, rather than saying, if you want to see this one, go and find it over here. If you want to see this one, go and find it over there, because what they end up is back and forth. And quite often what happens, if they leave the email, they're probably not going to come back to it, because they'll get distracted by whatever you sent them to. And they'll end up searching for something on Google, and it takes them out of that sort of flow of information. That's not me saying you shouldn't do that. I'm just saying it's an observation that I've had, that in general, people like to stay in the platform that they're currently focused on.
I think that's a really good piece of advice, and one that I'm certainly going to take into consideration for my next newsletters. You know, when you do the stuff that we do here, it's, do I promote the audio show? Do I promote the video show? Do I promote the blog post? Do I, like, where do you want to take them? And when I create just the written content, I agree, keep them where it is. I'm still trying to figure out, are people, you know, more interested in running off to Spotify to check out a show like this, or are they more interested in running to YouTube to check out a show like this, and how does all of that stuff work? But having those analytics is extremely important. One of the things that I know that we can do with Kit is either create a weekly broadcast new every week, or we can set up what ConvertKit calls sequences, which is, it's already pre-made content. I'm curious on your philosophy of this, right? Should we be creating a sequence so that way, no matter when somebody comes in, they get all of our evergreen content? Or should our broadcast be completely fresh every week? How much of your stuff, or how much when you work with other companies, how much stuff should be on that, what we call an intro sequence, versus I'm writing this thing fresh? Because I can think of a newsletter now. He's on episode 310 of his, every week he does Google Sheets content. Well, if I sign up now, I get 311. What if I want them to start with number one and work their way all the way up? So what do you think? Every week is something new, or?
Yeah. So the short answer is it's a hybrid of those things. So if it would be helpful, I can tell you exactly what I do in my business and what I recommend other people do in theirs. What I do is when I'm collecting subscribers, I normally collect them as a result of something that I'm offering them, known as a lead magnet, right? So I'm helping them with a challenge or a problem they currently have. And they'll identify that by the content that I share, whether it's on social media, on website, or whatever they come across me. It could be YouTube. And then whatever they raise their hand with to say, I've got a problem with this thing, whether it's getting started with email marketing, or I'm struggling to grow my email list, I'm struggling to make sales, whatever that thing is, I share that with them. I give them it. And then what I do, my number one job at that point is I welcome them into my list and I help them fix the problem they showed up with. I don't deviate. I don't talk about other things. I don't share anything else with them. The first thing I do is I set a do not disturb flag on their profile so that they only get the content I want them to get. So if you come to me with, I don't know how to grow my list, all you're going to get for me for the first a few emails is help on growing your list. And I'm not going to talk about anything else. At some point, I'm then going to ask you for zero party data. I'm going to say, well, by the way, Jeff, what exactly are you, what are you looking to do, or what are you struggling with at the moment, etc. Using a number of ways. And one of the ways you can do it in say Kit is, as you'll know, is through the polls. You can use a poll and automatically tag people with certain tags, depending on which one they opt for. If someone says, I'm over that problem. I know exactly what email marketing is now. I know how to get started, but I really struggle with growing my email list. Then what I do is by them telling me that, I automatically put them into an automated sequence. And it could be, let's say, 6 or 8 emails about how to grow your email list. And that will be drip fed over a period of time, maybe once a week, maybe a couple of weeks, depending on how I've got it configured. So for that next period, all they're going to get is help about the thing that they want help with. And then as soon as I do that, I'm already thinking. I mean, I say I'm thinking, I mean it's configured inside Kit. What's next? Because that's the most important question you need to be asking for every subscriber that joins your list is what's next? What is it they're looking for next? And then making sure you've got that ready for them and make sure you know when they're going to need it. So someone drops into my sequence for how to grow your email list, and I know they're going to be in that sequence for, let's say, 7 days. Then in 7 days' time, I'm going to have something ready for them to say, here's the next thing that you're probably going to want help with. And that could come in the form of an offer to buy a paid product, known as a gateway product, or it could be, another free course. It could be something else, depending on what they decide. So a lot of the time inside Kit with my subscribers is they're self-segmenting. They're picking their own journey. And for every 100 subscribers that join my list, there's probably as many different permutations of the past that they can go through, because each person is arriving with a different set of challenges. And that's what I'm trying to cover off.
Talking today to John Bellingham all about Kit and newsletter creation. And John, I want to bring up a subject that comes up here often on the show, which is artificial intelligence. I've seen YouTube video after YouTube video about, let AI write your newsletter, put everything on hold. I've seen videos of using AI to generate your topics and then generate the ideas behind each newsletter. And then you go physically and, you manually do things. Do you have an AI workflow? Have you worked with companies that are trying to use AI to make things a little bit easier? Again, for myself, I'm trying to launch my book next month. I had AI take my entire book, read it, and then generate 15 newsletter topics to then now I'm trying to figure this out. What's your AI policy? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I'm old enough to remember when the internet started. And for me, the introduction and the arrival of AI is very similar to the arrival of the internet. Way back when the internet started, everybody was fearing for their jobs because no longer was there going to be a need for anyone to do anything because the internet was going to do everything for us. Obviously, that was not true. And I think the same applies to AI. AI is simply a tool that we should be adopting and leveraging to benefit the business that we want to run, right? Now, I do use AI. but I use it for the things that I want help with. Now, what I mean when I say help, I might want to expedite the process of going from point A to point B. So if I'm going to release a new course, I might say to ChatGPT, here's the course I'm going to, I want to create, I'm going to deliver it. Here's the set or the category topics that I'm going to cover in it. Can you come up with a sensible layout for this course with chapters, modules, whatever that is, and then let AI come back to me and then have a conversation back and forth. Well, I don't quite like that one. Can you come up with a solution for that one? And it's that back and forth conversation that I use ChatGPT for, so that I arrive with something that I can then sort of lift out of ChatGPT and go and do what I need to do. I'll go and then I know exactly what the topics of the course are going to be. I'll sit and I'll record the videos. I'll create all the documents that accompany the course. So I'm not actually using AI as such for the content. It's about it's about helping with the structure and the delivery of it. But my two pens worth is for AI is, you know, don't be afraid of it. Use it, embrace it, leverage it. Find what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And there's no right and wrong level when it comes to AI. It's whatever works for you.
One of the things I have started using AI for, and both personally and also through Kit, is your email subjects. And I love the fact that Kit now can do A/B testing with some AI's things. I if you have a certain version of Kit, you can get up to 5. But getting those subjects right, getting those open rates right, it's always interesting to see, because I have myself subscribed a few times on my list with different tags and stuff like that. And sometimes the newsletter topic that I think is going to win doesn't. Sometimes the percentages are different. What advice have you for topics or email topics, subject lines?
Yeah, so my approach on, so I'm not a fan of clickbait. I don't think anyone really is, but I know a lot of people use that type of stuff. I'm not a fan of the clickbait approach. I'm a fan of having a bit of intrigue, but not clickbait. So not giving necessarily the question and the answer in the subject title, but creating enough intrigue. Remember, the email subject title has only one job, and it's just to get someone to click on it. There's no other purpose for the subject title. In Kit and in every other marketing platform, you also get the co-collaborator to the subject title, which is known as the preview text, or sometimes it's called the pre-header text. Now, that pre-header text will appear in your email client when you look down the list of emails that have arrived, but that text will not appear inside the email itself. And it's just another way of tipping that person, you know, over, taking them over the line to click on the email rather than just deleting it or, you know, send it to the junk folder. So for me, it has to be relevant to the content that's inside the email, but not clickbaity. It's just relevant and intriguing enough for people to open it.
I'm sure that people who are listening to this are looking for more advice than we have time for on this show. You are launching, or have launched, I'm not sure where we are exactly, a hub, if you will, to help people learn how to do email newsletters. Talk to us a little bit about the project that you're launching.
Yeah, so it's not actually launched yet. It's pre-launched at the moment. It's called the Hub. And it's something that's been rumbling around in my head for a number of years. What I essentially want to do is bring what I do for my one-to-one clients, but in a one-to-many platform. Now, it's never going to be a huge platform. I don't want it to be huge. I want to know every single person in the community personally. So it'll always be accessible, and the people in it will, I'll understand what their challenges are, and I'll be able to help them. Now, obviously, I can't spend as much one-to-one time with those people as I can with my one-to-one clients, but at least people are getting access to me. What I want to do is split into 5 phases of building a successful and profitable email-first business. And when you come into the community, there may be some of those 5 phases that you've already covered. You've got it running the way you want it to. And if that's the case, then that's great. You just move on to the phase that applies to you. But essentially, when you completed these 5 phases, you'll have a successful and a profitable email marketing business, email first business, if you do the things that I'm sharing with you. Because I've been doing it for so many years, I know personally what works and what doesn't work. And all I'm doing is sharing the success strategies that I've learned over the years, and I'm highlighting some of the pitfalls and the failures that I've also encountered over the years, and so that people can avoid those. So it's essentially a private, safe space where solopreneur business owners can come in and they can learn using the course material in there. They can get help from the community, from other members in there. And of course, I'll be there every day checking in to see if anybody's got any questions, and delivering master classes and group coaching sessions. So that's the kind of the hub in a kind of 3-minute pitch, I guess.
And what's the website again for that?
So the URL is hub.provenflows.com.
And we're going to make sure that we have the link to this and everything that we've been discussing over on our website. You can find out more information over on teachercast.net/podcast and check out all of our shows. John, as we go through, what do you think the future of email marketing is? You already mentioned it at the top of the show. This has been growing for some time. This is only going to get bigger. Companies are evolving. AI is, of course, happening. What do you see as the future for email marketing as we go through here?
So email marketing has been around for longer than any other channel or any other platform that we have today. It actually started in 1971 with a guy in New York, Ray Tomlinson. And it's grown to what it is today. Now, it's morphed through many guises over those decades. But the one thing that remains constant is that everybody, every company uses email marketing in some form or other. Even the social platforms, if you want to have an account on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all these companies require an email address so that you can be part of that community or that channel. It's something that's it's going to be here for a long time. The beautiful thing about email marketing that is different from any other platform is that nobody owns email marketing. Email marketing is a digital marketing channel that no single person can say, right, I'm going to sell it or I'm going to monetize it in this way, because there are so many players in the market when it comes to ISPs, the internet service providers, the email marketing platforms. Then everybody is protected, because if you've got a list of 1,000 subscribers today, you are the custodian of those 1,000 subscribers. And the only people that can take them off that list is the subscribers themselves. If you're with Kit and you decide to move to another platform like MailChimp or MailerLite, that's your prerogative. You can do that if you want. You can take those 1,000 people with you. Other platforms, you can't do that. If you're on LinkedIn, which I am, and if LinkedIn, remove my account tomorrow, I've got no way of connecting with all those people. I've got no way of connecting with them. So an email-first business is where you're generating the bulk of your income from your email list, which is what I do. And it gives the safety and the security of knowing that that is there. And if everything else disappeared tomorrow, I know I've always got my email list, and that's where I generate my income from.
That is such good advice for anybody that's putting this together. I mean, we all started on Facebook. We all started on Twitter. We all started on the Blue Skies and Pinterest and all of these different places, but it's just rented property, right? Your newsletter is that one place where your newsletter is yours. Your email list is yours. You can always export a CSV and move them to another place. You can't take all your Twitter followers and stick them into Pinterest. It doesn't work. But your newsletter is that place where you can grow your stuff. And it's a place where I've been growing my stuff. You can find out more information over at teachercast.net/newsletters. John, we could continue talking. Please, let's have you back on the show. I would love to have a conversation with this. Maybe we can even bring on some of the people who are in the hub once everything gets moving. I would love to have you guys on as a follow-up. John, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate your time.
Oh, you're very welcome, Jeff. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
You can find out all the great things that John's doing these days over at provenflows.com. We're going to make sure that we have links to everything in our show notes. And of course, we want to say thank you guys for making TeacherCast your home for professional development. This is the first time you're listening to the show. Head on over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you guys get your audio and video, and check out this and all of our shows about email marketing, digital branding, content creation, you name it. And if you'd like to be featured on the show, please head on over to TeacherCast and let us know by filling out our contact form. And that wraps up this episode of the Jeff Bradbury Show. On behalf of John and everybody here on TeacherCast, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
You've been listening to the TeacherCast Educational Network, hosted by Jeff Bradbury. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter at TeacherCast or online at www.teachercast.net. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.